On March 24th, students and adults plan to take the streets for March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. and in cities across the nation. Vermilion March organizers are one of 500 groups receiving a grant from Every Town for Gun Safety. The goal is to send a message about ending gun violence and mass shootings in schools. We're joined in the studios in Vermilion today by March organizers Ellie Piles and Katie Myros. Ellie, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Katie, thanks for being here as well.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, so we wake up this morning to another school shooting in Southern Maryland at a high school. Two, I think, are dead at this point. Reports are still coming out. Ellie, let's start with you and tell me a little bit about the march itself and what you're sort of hoping people will come out to. You know, what's the conversation you're hoping people will be a part of?
Yeah, so the march is this Saturday, March 24th at 1 o'clock p.m. It's at the First United Methodist Church here in Vermilion at 16 North Dakota Street. So I would invite anyone who would like to participate to join us for that. We will meet at the church, have some information available for folks who would like to learn more about gun safety, and then we will march to the courthouse. We are hoping to raise awareness about gun safety and to talk about ways that we can promote gun safety and reduce gun violence here in South Dakota. Mm. We feel that the best way to do that is through universal background checks, and so we will be talking a lot about how we can bring that change to South Dakota.
Katie, tell me a little bit about your involvement. You're a student at USD and one of the student organizers. Give me some background on your participation, please.
Yes. So I've helped Ellie with a few things in the past, and she approached me about the March for Our Lives. And it's something that really hits home for me just because you see it so frequently in the news. And so when she asked me, I jumped on the opportunity. So I've done a lot of the student outreach as far as posting things around campus. We're going to be tabling at the Munster University Center Thursday and Friday from 11 to 2. And that will be me and another student trying to get the word out there, trying to get people to come and educate people my age about what we're trying to do here.
What kind of conversations are you seeing among other students? Because, you know, in the places that I'm talking to people, it's a complex problem. People are passionate about it. Do you find that college students at the University of South Dakota and in your circle have been very engaged, or is it, you know, distant for them? How important and urgent does it feel to have the conversation now?
I feel like it's urgent on both ends. I grew up in South Dakota. I think that guns have a place in our society, but we need to focus on safety. And I think a lot of other students feel that way. No one wants to see someone go into a school and open fire, but we're not here to ban guns either. So very passionate on both sides, and people overall just want lives to be saved and awareness and education to be out there about gun safety and stopping gun violence. So there's a lot of help from both ends.
So you went to Sturgis High School, then did you grow up with intruder drills, and was that part of your education to sort of prepare for an active shooter in your school?
Yes, we would have lockdown procedures where you lock the doors and you hide, and we had those at least once a year. And that was pretty much came into being after the Columbine shooting. And as far as I know, I remember this since I was quite young, that we were doing these drills in case of an intruder.
Yeah. Ellie, we didn't have that when we were kids.
No.
Did you? You're younger than I am, but I had tornado drills, which I'm sure you still have.
Yes.
Too, but we didn't, we didn't have sort of lockdowns in that way.
No, and it's heartbreaking for me as a mother of two children who are entering their academic careers that this is a part of their reality, that my four-year-old son is aware of school shootings and starting to ask questions and talking to other moms who have older children and are a little bit more aware of what's going on, just the fear that the moms are living in, that the kids are living in, and that is not freedom, living in that constant fear of, could this happen to me? Could my child be next? And no one wants to live like that. And so,
as a mother of small children, then do you think that the media coverage and the way we talk about these things is making your kids be more afraid? I mean, is the media part of the solution here or part of the problem in the way you've seen things covered?
The problem is that these things keep happening, and of course the media has to cover them. These are major incidents in American life, but that these things are permeating our children's consciousness is solely a reflection of what is happening, and that these things keep popping up every day, as it did again today in Maryland, as you mentioned. And so to the extent that these things can be prevented, you know, in the tradition of Moms Against Drunk Driving 40 years ago, you know, realizing that not every drunk driving death can be prevented, but there are things that we can do in terms of regulation and education to prevent that from as much of that from happening as possible. You know, we want to do the same thing again with this, because it is reaching epidemic proportions.
Why background checks? Why universal background checks? Katie, you want to talk about that a little bit as far as when you look at potential solutions, which could come from many places, why is this one that is particularly important, do you think?
Well, typically, if someone has a violent history, they're more likely to commit a violent act in the future. And so background checks would see if they have any criminal history, especially when it comes to domestic violence and things of that nature. But Elena has a lot more information on what these background checks would include and how that can affect receiving guns in the future.
Lay out an argument for us, Ellie, about background checks and the importance.
So, as Katie said, it's pretty simple. You know, folks who should not have guns are getting access to guns. And, you know, each time, there's a shooting, we say, how could this person get a gun? And as, you know, in Parkland, everybody says, we knew the shooter was going to do this, but he didn't break any laws in getting the guns. And so we want to make sure that the laws are in place to keep people from getting guns who should not have guns. 40% of all gun transactions happen in a private party transaction and are therefore not subject to federal background check requirements. So if we can close that gap and make sure that anyone who buys a gun is subject to that kind of requirement, we believe that studies show that will reduce gun violence. So in addition to bringing universal background checks to South Dakota, we also want to make that process less cost prohibitive and easier for folks to navigate. You know, bringing that requirement in does place a burden on folks who want to sell their firearms. So we want to work with gun owners to make sure that is taken into consideration, that we can do whatever we can to facilitate those types of transactions.
One of the themes that seems to come out as we continue to have we've been having these conversations for more than a month now on In the Moment, is that the conversation in and of itself is important, getting together and listening to one another. Katie, any final thoughts on that from your perspective?
Absolutely. So much can be learned from talking to other people and having a system of understanding. To me, education is the most important part of any situation. We need to understand what's happening and why it's happening. And if we pretend it doesn't happen and we're quiet about it, then the conversation goes away. Having the conversation is how change happens. And eventually, I feel like that's how we're going to change lives, is through having this conversation.
University of South Dakota student and a student march organizer, and march organizer Ellie Piles, Katie Myros. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate your time. And final thoughts, march begins, Vermilion First Methodist Church, march to the courthouse, March 24th. What time? 1?
1 o'clock.
1 Central Time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you,
Lori.